Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 8th, 160th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the training officer for the Humboldt Bay Fire District. You like that?
That's great.
All right. Chris Jelinek. Good afternoon, guy.
It's great to be here.
So what happened to the old stodgy goofball guy?
Well, the
as he's affectionately known.
Lovingly called, of course.
Yeah.
He had other duties as required by the fire chief, so yours truly got the great opportunity to be with you
yeah,
here today.
Yeah. Bob and Weave, Duck and Jive, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the different training programs that the fire district puts their guys through.
Sure.
And some of the things that they wished they could put their guys through. We'll do it when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time, it's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chris Jednick. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Nelson Mandela. Said, quote, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." I would think, notice a smooth segue here, that one of the things that you've got with a newbie is either lack of fear, ding, 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 red flag,
mm-hmm.
or not having enough respect for the situation so that they might either overcompensate or undercompensate.
Sure.
How do you deal with the fear factor?
Wow, that's a great question to start with. And, you know, it just really depends on the individual and their personality as they come into the fire department.
Can you tell?
You know, you usually can. You kind of get a sense of it as they're going through their recruit academy.
Yeah.
So easy for me
to say.
Yeah. And, you know, we start getting little bits and pieces of their personality, kind of a flavor of who they are. But, you know, when they first come in, all we see is the whites of their eyes, and they're generally on their best behavior.
Oh, so you don't get a copy of the psych or any of that kind of stuff to be able to either train to or not have to worry about training about?
You know, not on the training side, no. You know, they have to go through all that stuff, their background, their poly, psych, you know, to make sure that they are who they say they are and pretend to be and all that good stuff. But, you know, once they go over to training, we really start with a clean slate. And
so you treat me the same as you would anybody else?
Yes, exactly.
Now, that's fear-inducing. How do you find out if, and it's probably a little late in the process, mm-hmm. but I would think after the hire, if this is somebody who is okay with blood,
mm-hmm.
okay
mm-hmm.
with high speed, okay with heights, claustrophobic, all those basic big picture things that you think would, somebody would figure that one out in the
right.
training process,
right.
but I bet you guys are like me where I've had people apply for on-air positions with a more than a significant lisp.
Yeah, that's a fair question, you know, and it a lot of that stuff we should pick up through their background and interviews and psych and all those kinds of things. By and large, though, the people that come into the fire service have generally a good idea of what they're getting themselves into. More and more, though, I got to tell you that we're not really interested in so much in bringing people in that come with a strong fire service background. We're just looking for worth ethic and character. And
regular guy stuff?
Regular guy stuff, yeah. Yeah. You know, and quite honestly, the qualities that would make him a good employee here with you guys may very well be the same for us. We're looking for, I call it the 80-20 rule. We're looking for 80% attitude and 20% aptitude. I can take anyone that has the interest and the desire, the willingness, throw in a sprinkle of courage, and we can give them the tools to do the job. You know, in fact, we just brought on two brand new recruits, came on shift last week, actually, and neither one of them had any substantial fire department background before they came to us. You know, this is a fire town. We tend to see more than your average number of structure fires. And during their academy, you know, they had responded to a couple of them just part of the deal when calls come up during their regular scheduled training. And one of the stories was relayed to me is the guys were breaking out windows and to let out the smoke and the heat and the usual stuff. And one of them asked, "Well, why are you breaking the windows? What are you doing that for?" And somebody asked, "Well, how many fires have you been to?" "None. This is my first." And you know, it gave us a great idea of where to start and how to bring their training. And to be honest with you, those were two of the best recruits we've ever had. The work ethic and the attitude they brought have just been amazing. And I'll take that any day over somebody who's got technically great skills when they walk in the door.
So you didn't bother following up if they knew how to aim a hose?
We can teach those things. Yeah. Those are things
we can
train people
to do. Well, that would be an interesting, I guess it would be an intake interview.
Mm-hmm.
Or with the guys going along on a run, and I would presume if they haven't gone through the academy, they're probably not too actively involved in the suppression efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Fair statement?
Yeah, it's a fair statement. It just depends on who they are. In the case of these two new recruits, they came from out of the area. But, you know, we pick up our own volunteers when we can, and they come from the inside. They get a good feel for how things work.
And they were smart enough not to go across the street and replicate the process, right?
No comment.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to get Tyson back in here and talk about the lawsuits then. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chris Jelinek, who is the training guy for the Humboldt Bay Fire District Department, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Volunteers and casual standby guys. Years ago, there was a training tower probably about where the gas station is now in the Costco parking lot.
Where Costco, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That one kind of went bye-bye. There was a training trailer that kind of has relocated a couple of times also. I remember when McFarland was chief and then Stan Ehler and going back a couple of decades, the one common high on the wish list, maybe after the fancy fire truck that you guys are getting, was the training facility, the training tower.
Right.
Training. There was a hope that maybe at the water tower that there could be some training involved there. Turned out to be classroom training. How needful is the department for having a permanent, full-time, can go there and do whatever you need to training facility?
Well, you know, we've actually made huge strides in that area. Several years ago, we were able to take a parcel that the city owns. It's actually the former Crowley property where the bulk fuel storage facility used to be at the foot of Hilfiker, kind of near where wastewater is down there by the bay. And we have about 5 acres that we've set up a training tower. We store our mobile live fire simulator.
You can see it from the mannequin, by the way.
You can.
I saw it last weekend.
I hadn't thought about that.
I went, huh? Yeah. I remember something. Oh, okay. But is that the ideal situation, or is that a great second place?
You know, it's really not bad. I jokingly tell my boss that if I could, I'd put my own office on the fifth floor of the tower because I think it has the best view in Humboldt County. Phenomenal view of the bay and the surrounding area and all that good stuff. But, you know, we have a couple of problems down there. And one of the big challenges that we have is we're in the coastal zone. And anytime we want to develop or expand our training facility, it adds a new layer of challenges that we need to go through to expand existing facilities.
To what extent, Chris, what are you putting in speed bumps? Some really things that people probably wouldn't even think would be on their radar screen?
Well, you know, just to give you an example, we do have a coastal permit now, but it has a couple of big limitations on it, and one of them is that if we're to develop structures, we can only do it on the existing concrete pads that are currently down there. So when the Crowley bulk fuel facility went away, the foundations remained, and we've done core samples on a few of those and found that it was an appropriate place to put our tower and some of our other props. But if we were to expand beyond that, we need to reopen the permit and go through the whole process.
So it's a little bit more complicated than just finding the funds.
Yeah, it's definitely more complicated. And, you know, really we don't need a lot. I mean, with the tower, we've met a huge unmet need. You know, I've been on the job here for 16 years, and I spent a good portion of that without a formal training facility. Beg, borrowing, and stealing, abandoned buildings wherever we could to try and do training, and it's just not easy. So,
got a house? I'll burn it down for you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And even that's pretty tough these days. It's difficult to get those permits.
It seems as if it was pretty routine, once or twice a year, having a practice burn at this house, you know, don't drive by, we're going to be cordoning off, and we would get these press releases. I can't tell you the last time I can recall that happening. Jim Gupton, when going back significant now, when
number of
when
years.
He was, Jim would come out and record his show. He talked about, you got to go crawl through. You got to go. And it's like, okay, fine, thanks. But there haven't been that many opportunities for either the electeds or for members of the community that you want to get even with. To go through a live exercise like that. Are they just tough to come by, or is it permits and the insurance side of things?
Well, you know, it's a little of both. Part of the problem is these structures, as they come up, they're generally offered by someone who's looking to clear a piece of property to put in something new. And I don't receive a whole lot of phone calls to do that anymore. It's few and far between. I've been in training for 7 years, and I can count on one hand the number of times that people have called and seeing if we have any interest in burning a building down for training value.
That wouldn't be the hand with the 14 fingers. So, hand.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Now, one of the hats I wear, I'm the president for the County Fire Instructors Association, and we're actually in the process of setting up control burns in Lolita, out at Table Bluff, the old BLM property. They're looking to clear some buildings off. Similar scenario with National Parks up in Oreck. And we've also established a great relationship with folks up with Crescent Fire and have done a number of control burns, and they've offered up another one in the middle of June. So,
oh, cool.
So maintaining good relationships with their neighbors, we still have the opportunities to do these kinds of burns.
KINS News and Information Time is 4. KINS News and Information Time is 3:30.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chris Jelinek, who is the training officer for the combined, the new, are we even referring to the two old ones yet? I keep seeing stories about consolidation is still well, and I thought it was done.
You know, the formal governing body has not been formed, and
we're still hyphenated.
It's not official, but if you call
Humboldt
us on
Bay
the
Fire
phone,
District.
We answer the phone. It's Humboldt Bay Fire, and we're working on forming that a new identity, but nothing's official yet.
Still waiting for the patches.
That's right, those stinking patches.
Chris, some of the different challenges I would imagine that you're going through now, even though you guys have been functionally running parallel for a number of years, is the true blending of the two cultures between the fire district and the fire department. But training has pretty much been the same all for a number of years, hasn't it?
You know, it's every year we get closer and closer. I mean, again, I've been here for 16 years, and you know, just in that time, we've made leaps and bounds. We've had a boundary drop, meaning that closest apparatus responds regardless of jurisdiction for, you know, close to 18 years now. And but culturally, when that first started, the departments were very different. We didn't play quite as nicely with each other as perhaps we could. But a lot of it is just, really, it's relationships, it's getting to know each other, and, you know, learning that, you know, we have the same job and we have the same interests, and one set of engines is yellow and the other set is red. But, you know, operationally, we're getting a lot closer, but we still have some more work to do.
And everybody's got the keys to the training facility.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
With some of the different challenges there are, I don't think too many of the folks on in the 6th Street station really think too much about wild land fire. The guys who have been occupying Hubbard are going, yeah, right. How do you get the city guy to understand how weird and wild and crazy a wild land fire can be just in a field, let alone if it gets up in the canopy?
Sure. You know, we've really ramped up our wildland training program in the last 6 or 7 years. And honestly, for both agencies, a lot of our experience comes from out-of-county work when one of these large campaign fires comes up. And we'll send our OES apparatus out of town on a strike team assignment. And the fire district has a smaller engine, which is called a Type 3, specifically designed for that wildland environment. It's a little narrower, sits higher off the ground, four-wheel drive.
So you're not starting fires as you're leaving?
Not usually, no.
Okay,
no. There's usually enough work when we get there. So, you know, we've been working on this for a while, and our collectively, between the two departments, our wildland skill set certainly isn't as strong as you would find with men and women with Cal Fire or the Forest Service, or, you know, even some of these metro departments that are a little busier with wildland stuff down in Southern California.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, we don't have some of the funny winds. Okay. We don't have some of the really steep hills and terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But still, yeah, I can – there must have been one because I can remember it. I couldn't tell you when around Winship. fires in the forest behind there.
Right.
Out in some of the areas that are now developed that used to be in the logging. There's history of this kind of stuff happening in the neighborhood. Maybe not as prevalent, maybe not to the big extent, mm-hmm. but you guys get calls for grass fires. And you don't know, is this a grass fire like in a 4 square foot area or a grass fire? This is 4 blocks, guys, and the wind is kicking up. And
or 4 miles.
Yeah, rock and roll on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you still need that expertise. You don't have it at the training facility, the physicalness of
mm-hmm.
it. How do you train short of hoping there's a big one statewide and you send your guys away?
Well, you know, that's a great segue for me because we being the County Fire Instructors Association, are organizing what is the first and we hope to be annual county wildland fire drill, which is set up for later this month, June 23rd. And we've secured permission to use Green Diamond property in the McKay Track. And we send out invitations to essentially every fire agency within Humboldt County, all the big ones, Cal Fire, Forest Service, BLM, National and State Parks, all the local volunteer and career departments have been invited. And, you know, based on the list right now, we're looking at 25 to 30 apparatus, aircraft support.
You guys are going to have a picnic.
And we're gonna have
there,
something.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're not going to be putting any fire on the ground, but, you know, just the communication aspect of it, the interagency coordination, it's huge.
So kind of like a tabletop?
It's a great training event.
But it's a picnic table instead of a desktop?
This is a full-scale event. We're going to be using flagging and, you know, I don't know, maybe a toilet paper or something to signal where the fire would be. And then, you know, the firefighters will come in and spray water. And when the toilet paper dissolves, they simulate that the fire went out. And so we're looking to make it look like anywhere from, 50 to 80 acres with structures threatened and a whole bunch of work for a lot of firefighters all at the same time.
So the 20th is the week before the Redwood Acres Fair.
The weekend that we're...
Are you going to be out beyond the buildings there?
Yeah.
Or how, I mean, I would imagine you don't want to muck things up for that event, but that's kind of like the area you guys would be setting up and playing in.
Wow, that's a good catch. And, yeah, that was an unfortunate coincidence, but we have made contact with the good folks at Redwood Acres and given them a heads up, and we don't anticipate that it's going to be really much of a problem. We're going to have some extra help to assist with traffic control to move fire engines in and out, make sure we're not blocking up Harris Street as people enter into the Redwood Acres, because we're going to be using that gate access that's really right next to it. I think it's going to work out fine. I think once that we get all of our equipment into the property, that it's going to be a non-issue and it shouldn't have any impact on the fair at all.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Chris Jelinek.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Chris Jelinek. Chris, the future of training.
Mm-hmm.
You've got computer simulation, the desktop thing we were talking about. You got the Fire Academy. You got, I guess, Quantico. You guys are sending some guys there now, too, in addition to the Maryland? Isn't that where the...
Yeah, National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland.
How far do you go with this stuff so that you don't lose your efficiencies,
mm-hmm.
but you maintain this level of effectiveness?
Well, you know, I could probably approach that from a couple of different ways, but one of the big projects that's on my plate right now is we're building a full-scale incident simulation lab, computer-based incident simulation lab at our L Street classroom. And it's great technology. The software basically allows us to photograph pretty much anything, generally buildings, and then we can import graphics that look like it's on fire, that has smoke coming from it, or victims hanging out of windows and all kinds of stuff. And
now I can imagine with the guys I know who've been in the department over the years, the desire, perhaps even the financial commitment, to hack in and have certain individuals leaping.
You know the fire department well.
Any concerns there?
You know, that's pretty creative, and I hadn't thought of that, but I'm sure somebody else had. Maybe I'll have to encrypt it with a better password.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
I think if people haven't gone through one of those computer simulated exercises, they don't appreciate how real those suckers can get.
Yeah, and we're trying to make it as realistic as possible, and that's a real theme in our training program is training that's safe, but also as realistic and as close to an actual event as we can possibly make it. So
when you guys are in a situation, and I'm presuming that there are observers, mm-hmm. and everybody's taking their notes and stuff, will you live play it the whole way through and then evaluate? Or in a training, not for promotion or any of that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you train, and if somebody does something, here's what you want to do, here's why you want to do it, roll it back 5 seconds, okay, go.
Yeah, you know, we've done it both ways, and for the most part, unless we see something that's unsafe or just wildly off course, we are basically letting people make their own decisions, and if it happens to not be the best choice, we let them follow it through so that they can identify what the problems are themselves. It's
deal with the repercussions of their actions,
and there's yeah. there's no harsher critic than a firefighter of themselves, and you know, rarely do I need to say anything that they haven't already discovered on their own. So it's been a really effective training tool for us.
So a lot of it is you don't have to do. You just kind of steer the course and make sure they stay there.
Right. You know, about 6 months ago, we changed the way we run multi-company drills. And one of my acquaintances through training in a department in another part of California, they call it Stump the Chump. And it's kind of a neat theme. And instead of announcing drills ahead of time and say, okay, folks, today we're going to do a structured fire drill and you're going to have victim rescues. On the activity schedule, I just post multi-company drill on this date, show up at this time. And then once they roll in the door, we'll dispatch and present them with whatever problem that they may be faced
with.
So
playtime coming through the door.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it's been amazingly effective, and it's well received by the troops.
Thanks for coming by, Chris.
It's been a pleasure.
Say hi to what's his name. You know, maybe he'll remember us next month. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.